This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN, the sports betting network, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Still to come here in hour two. I know NBA trades and signings have been dominating the headlines, but some notable moves in the National Hockey League we're going to get to in about 15 minutes. We'll dive into the evening's MLB slate, plenty of World Cup talk, as well as where we kick things off. Getting into the W, because the WNBA might have had yesterday off, but no days off for our boy Tyler Shoemaker, who joins us in studio here, VSiN betting analyst, the T-Shoe Index, been crushing the WNBA coverage. What is up, my friend?
What's going on? It's good to be here. It's been 2 years since I've been here.
I know. Why has it been so long?
Yeah. Feels good to be back.
We got to get you back more often, dude.
I know.
What was the impetus for this trip in particular?
Just hadn't been out in a while. My brother's meeting me here. He's flying in tonight, so we're just going to have a good weekend.
Where are you going out? Because, I mean, you have to be with that coat. Where are
Let's
we going?
Let's go. Oh,
I don't know. We'll see where the night takes us tonight.
Yeah,
we're going to a couple Aces games, of course.
Yeah.
We'll be there Friday and Sunday, so it's going to be fun.
Cool.
One thing about Tyler Shoemaker is he will be dressed for success.
That's right. Might see you out there in terms of the Aces game. So, all right, let's start with a couple of things. Well, first off, let's start out with that. Any worry about Asia Wilson?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's short-term, but teams like to lie.
Yeah, I mean, it seems, even just watching her the other night, and again, it's like, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy theory time, but just watching her move around the other night when she didn't play, she wasn't in a boot, she wasn't on crutches, like, I think she'll be fine. I'm maybe concerned that she might sit Friday with anticipation of playing Caitlin Clark and the Fever on Sunday, but like I said, I'll be at both, so as long as she's good for one of those, I'll be fine.
All right, can I follow up really quickly? Because one of the markets that has interested me the most, and this is the matchup with the Sky that people are looking at here Friday. That'll be at the Mandalay Bay Event Center tomorrow. So she's a $1.45 favorite, odds on, to win Defensive Player of the Year. The Aces defensively, though, are kind of middle of the pack in terms of their defensive rating. Can she still win this in terms of her defensive impact, or is there somebody else defensively that maybe grades similar or higher that you would look at in a market like this for Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I saw this posed on Twitter the other day, like asking kind of a similar thing, and it's like, how is the Aces defense so mediocre, but Asia Wilson gets such credit? I guess it's like, okay, if you take her out of it, they're really bad.
Right.
You know, we saw them lose the other night without her to the Liberty, of course. Nafisa Collier would be someone that we would definitely slot into that conversation, but obviously she hasn't played all this year. I really don't have a great candidate for you. I don't think at this point. I mean, no one jumps out off the top of my head.
Yeah, the market, for those who are wondering, Asia Wilson minus 145. Ren Howard for the Dream is at plus 650. Gabby Williams, excuse me, at plus 850. Then you get to the double digits. Brianna Stewart for the New York Liberty at 11-1.
Wilson, also obviously your big favorite to win league MVP once again this year. Realistically, like, if she stays healthy, is there anyone else that could overtake her?
I mean, the only name that comes to mind right now would be Olivia Miles as a rookie, which obviously hasn't been done since Candace Parker. So I think Olivia Miles, not only is she playing great, but her team is in championship contention. So I think she's a very viable candidate. But if Asia's ankle injury is short term, I think it's hers to lose for sure.
Real quick, so there's a couple of things we can talk about with this in the big picture. But I do think that one of the things that has stuck out with Olivia Miles is the links themselves and how good they have been. So if and when Nafisa Collier comes back, like, how good are we talking here with this team? Because it seems too simple to me to go, look, this team's at the top of the league and their best player still hasn't even played yet. Like, they look like they could run away with this when there's so few true title contenders.
Yeah, well, we had kind of a similar conversation in the preseason about the Liberty adding Satu Sabally. So sometimes it's not just as simple as you drop a great player on a great team and it makes them, you know, otherworldly. I think there is something to be said for integrating those type of pieces, especially one that defends that demands such attention on offense as Nafisa Collier. So I think ultimately they're going to be awesome and a really tough out in the playoffs, but I think we might see some short-term lumps when she comes back as they try to figure out how her and Miles can work together.
They're plus 150 for the title. Yeah. Aces are plus 370. Liberty plus 390. How many teams can realistically win this? Dreamer at 8-1, and then you get to double digits. Valkyries at 14-1.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Aces, Liberty, and Lynx. I would be very surprised if a team outside of that three wins the championship this year.
Can we ask Tyler our question that we've asked 1,000 times?
Sure.
Should it be Valkyrie or Valkyries? The plural form of Valkyrie is Valkyrie, isn't it?
Right? Come on.
I say Valkyries, but...
But that's because you're supposed to, but...
I hear you. Okay. I hear you.
It's like, it's one of those just pet peeves of both of ours as we've gone through the W coverage. But let's look to tonight. We do have a three-game slate coming up. Paige Becker's in, AZ Fudd returning to Connecticut, a place they've had a lot of success. Pretty big favorites against the Sun. Are they too big, though? What do you think of that 7.5 number?
Yeah, I make it Wings minus 8. So I'm kind of right in line with the market there. So no real play for me there on the side. I did bet the over at 169.5. I think that has gone up much more in line with my projection of 171.5 at this point.
What have you made of the start of the career for AZ Fudd? Because the more I've watched her, the more, because I was at the Wings Aces game here, and the one thing that stuck out is they were going after her a lot, and defensively, I feel like she leaves a little bit to be desired at times.
Yeah, it's interesting because her stats, her like steals and blocks.
Yeah.
Stats are very good, but it's like when you watch the game, you definitely see teams attack her similar to what teams kind of do with the Fever with Caitlin Clark right now.
WNBA and overall betting analyst Tyler Shoemaker joining us here in studio. Lovely to have you here. Article up right now, and like pretty much every day there are games in the WNBA up at VSiN.com. Was there a bet in particular today that you do really like?
Yeah, I did play the Mercury. That line actually moved towards the Storm. And this is what I think is happening. The Storm, their last three games, they played excellent. However, all three of those games were at home, and they have been abysmal on the road this year. They've only won one road game this year, and that was in May against Connecticut. So when they've gone on the road, they have really struggled to be competitive. And Phoenix has been playing really well. And the weird thing with Seattle, too, is that when they've played non-playoff caliber teams, they've actually had lower power rating game grades for me. So they've been bad against non-playoff teams. They've been bad on the road. So I really like the Mercury minus 4. I would play it up to minus 6 tonight.
Okay. Oh, I mean, we covered all of them. Might as well. What about Atlanta and Washington? When you're looking at this one so far, what do you make of this? This is 7.5, 6.5. Total's 167.5.
Yeah, I make it Atlanta minus 5.5. So,
okay.
You know, a little bit of value on the Mystics there. But, man, I'm so mad at the Mystics. I really thought they had turned a corner.
Yep.
A week or two ago after they beat Minnesota and then took Minnesota down to the wire. And then they have just completely just regressed back to being terrible. So I reluctantly would lean Washington just based on the number here.
Dream dropped 3 in a row, trying to bounce back as a 6.5-point favorite, but we'll see if Washington at home can cover that number. Total 167.5.
So two of those three for the Dream were on the road against Golden State. I am curious your thoughts. Awards-wise, and maybe you don't have like the history of these things off the top of your head, so Natalie Nicasse wins Coach of the Year last year, but they're rolling, and they're like a top-three team seeding-wise right now. If they keep this up, could she do it again? Because she's like 15-1 to win Coach of the Year.
She could. I think last year they caught so many people by surprise being
sure.
An expansion team. I mean, this sounds crazy because the team has been so good, but I think Cheryl Reeve of Minnesota losing her best player, who's a defensive player of the year candidate every year and an MVP candidate every year, to have them right back at the top of the league with being led by a rookie, I think she deserves some consideration, honestly. Yeah. I don't know that the voters will go that way, but I have a lot of respect for her based on how this season's gone.
She is, Reeve, for what it's worth, in the betting market, has that respect. She's minus 135, the favorite.
I'm surprised you haven't asked your sixth woman of the year question
yet.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, well, so I was actually talking to Doug Kazarian about this yesterday. Thank you for reminding me. So being out here, and I like very part-time, I've helped cover the Aces a little bit. So Kennedy Carter's been a really big talk about her absence and what's going on and whether or not she's playing and whether or not it was suspension. So we've seen her come back. She's played in a couple of games. She was very good in the Commissioner's Cup final. She had missed time, though, and not played very well. She's still, like, a really short shot to win sixth player of the year. And I'm just curious. I mean, like, there's so much non-basketball stuff around it, so it's hard to really answer the question. But from a pricing standpoint, when you look at who else could win this award, I'm surprised she's still in that range of, like, plus 135 to win this thing. Janelle Salon of the Valkyries at plus 110.
It's such a weird situation,
yeah.
Right? Because she was... I forget, like minus 700 or something.
Yeah.
At one point, I mean, it seemed like an absolute lock, which I agreed with at the time when I saw those odds. I was like, I mean, yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know if she's in the doghouse with Becky Hammond. I don't know what the deal is there. They're listing her, you know, she's been out with quote unquote an illness, but who knows what that really means. So based on that, I wouldn't bet her right now. I would definitely look elsewhere. I think what's interesting, and I don't even know how the voters will look at this, but the Liberty have moved Satu Sabally to the bench, and she has really excelled in that role. I don't know, you know, what the game requirement is because she did start at first. So
sure.
I don't know, but that's who I would lean right now based on how she's played coming off the bench.
Not listed at FanDuel, at least. We might have to hunt around for Sobley, but that's a good point.
I was trying to pitch Sophie Cunningham the other day just because of the popularity in which she's done off the bench. But do people not like her?
I think people are starting to not like her.
I like this move, though. I know a lot of people hated it. The memes that have come out of that thing are unbelievable.
So funny. I respect it. I still play. Like, that's how I play. I'm that annoying. So
let's go.
I respect it. I respect the point. I love some trash talk.
You would have liked this. I mean, I'm sure you caught this. Did you see the rookie guard? Was it Paulina Steer for the Liberty when they were giving out the trophy the other day, the commissioner's?
Oh, no, I missed it.
So they started booing Kathy Engelbert, and it's funny because it's a stereotype, but it's this, you see this young French girl like looking around like, oh my God, they're booing her. This is so mean. And it's like, no, this is what happens here. This lady sucks at her job. It was absolutely
commissioners
incredible.
Always get booed too. She'll learn. Yeah. She'll learn. That's Mike Palm's dream job, by the way, to become the new commissioner of the WNBA. If he could quit his job today and do anything, that's what he says he would do.
I mean, he could arguably do as good a job just first day.
Well, he thinks he could do a lot better, obviously.
Yeah. I'm sure that he wouldn't show up in a New York-themed dress in Game 7 of a finals between the Lynx and the Liberty. How about that?
I would hope he wasn't wearing a dress to begin with. But that's just me. No, Tyler, real quickly on the way out here, Tissue Index, the latest, where can everybody find it?
Yeah, like you said, pretty much every day there's WNBA. I'm writing at Visa and giving out plays and projections. You can also find my work on my website, tissueindex.com.
The man. Enjoy the Aces game this weekend. Let's go.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
Tyler Shoemaker, everybody. Okay, we got to step aside here on Money Moves real quickly. When we come back, diving into a little NHL free agency talk. Did you see what happened to the Washington Capitals odds this morning? Plus, did the Edmonton Oilers finally find a goalie? I'll tell you why or why not when we return. Stick around. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Money Moves. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We are underway in the 15th minute of the World Cup match between Spain and Austria. Did you end up firing on something in this match? I can't remember.
Yeah, so we got Spain to win to nil here. Okay. So good start. With no goals being scored by Austria. Should also point out the other thing that is in action for us in Major League Baseball.
Well, real quickly, I do have a bet as well. Okay, I have Spain on the spread laying a goal and a half here and a small bet on the Austria no goal. So under a half a goal, minus 125.
All right, so we're down with the colonizers today of Spain. So hopefully we can get this done.
Prayers up.
For me in baseball, as we have three games that are currently underway, Pittsburgh up 4-1 top of the eighth inning with runners in first and second against the Philadelphia Phillies. And we are just getting started top of the first inning, but Miami's already doing some damage potentially. Runners on second and third with no outs against the Rockies. So we are waiting for that result to see if they can score. And an interesting stat line for the Miz. How about
He's
this?
He's a freak.
Jacob Mizorowski, his usual 8 strikeout performance, ho-hum, only through 4 innings of work. But 5 runs, here's the thing, though, good for you in the Cy Young race, if you like him, if you have him at anything, only charged with 1 of those 5 runs allowed. So some shoddy defense, not on his shoulders. 1 earned run in total for Mizorowski, but Reds are up 5-0 as we head to the top of the 5th inning. I'm sweating out Reds plus a half run in the first 5.
Okay, the news of the day coming through last night, the Jaylen Brown trade from the Boston Celtics to the Philadelphia 76ers for Paul George and a handful of future first and second round picks. We got your reaction earlier. Didn't really know what to make of it. Obviously, the odds movement in favor of Philly now being a true contender in the Eastern Conference, should Joel Embiid be able to stay healthy, is significant. On the Celtics side of this thing, though, how do you feel about where their roster is at now? Where do they sit without Brown on the lineup?
So before you text me, Celtics or 76ers?
Celtics.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Celtics. I just don't agree with the way they're being priced. I just don't understand this. And I want to say very clearly, as somebody who for a stretch of time had Paul George as his Twitter avatar because Paul George is just freaking awesome, and it may or may not have been him after hitting a massive corner three against the Dallas Mavericks in a series in which they ultimately lost in like five, I think, or something like that. I think Paul George is a good player. And I think he had a really good postseason series last year. And I don't think by any stretch this is going to be a group that is floating around the play-in. They should be a top six team. Again, closer to six than they are to one. It would be somewhat surprising that that is going to be a team that is competing again for a top seed in the Eastern Conference. I just don't understand why they're getting priced the way they are. They are clearly a worse team, the Boston Celtics. I don't think there's any question about that. And we saw last year, despite their performances in terms of their record and outperforming expectations, they were not as good a team as their record represented, and they got bounced by the Philadelphia 76ers. So I just don't agree with the way that they're getting priced. Should also note, and you said this when we talked about it, you traded away Jaylen Brown for Paul George, who again can be good, but also has a problem with availability. Mm-hmm. And entering the fray last year was a 25-game suspension. So you just don't know what's going on with Paul George in terms of his availability. There's so many different ways that he can miss time. So I just don't really buy the way that this team is getting priced, and especially with the way that these other teams look. I mean, Philadelphia, top heavy, but still one of the more balanced and better starting fives in the Eastern Conference. You know my love for the Toronto Raptors after they've gotten Kawhi Leonard.
Which, by the way, that number has gotten a little bit longer now because the 76ers have leaped up on the odds board. So yep. Out from 8-1 to now 9-1.
By the way, also, I know we don't think about these things anymore, because the way the playoff is formatted, that is a monster division now. The Atlantic division, because you have the Knicks, you have the Celtics, you have the 76ers, you've got the Raptors, you got the Nets. There is a lot in that division. So even division odds are going to be really fun to look at. Raptors are about 5-1 to win the division. So, again, we don't think about them in the same way we think about some of these other divisions, because the winning of the division does not impact you as much in your playoff seeding like the other sports. But it's just worth mentioning again that that is something, like, I would take a stab at the Raptors at 5-1 considering what I think of them. But
that's the craziest part of all of this, though, to me, is that the Celtics trade a guy who just finished fifth or sixth in MVP voting and is your NBA Finals MVP to a team in your division. And what you're taking off their hands is an injury prone, questionable player at best.
So here is, if you want to put on your tinfoil hat for a brief second,
please,
as has been pointed out by many in NBA circles for the most part. So you get Paul George, and you have this contract. Paul George has a player option coming up next season. You know who else has a player option coming up for the 2027-2028 season, who, from what he would be willing to get paid, might fit in nicely should you be able to get Paul George off your books?
Who's that?
Nikola Jokic. So also keep in mind that the Celtics have 8 first-round picks in control, 5 total of which are tradable, I believe. And then a couple of second-round picks, actually quite a few second-round picks. There's thoughts that maybe with this new CBA and with the draft lottery and whatnot, that second-round picks now have a little bit more value. So I'm just saying that the Celtics do have some assets as well that you could, like, put together the conspiracy of them potentially going after Nikola Jokic in some form or fashion. You made a very befuddled look. I mean, I would tend to agree. And Jokic is not the guy who is going to be, you would think, you know, as I always tell you, right? You're a fool. You believe everybody. You think everybody's all puppies and sunshine and rainbows and good people. And you don't want to assume that of anybody. But Jokic does not seem to be the type.
Correct.
That would initiate a trade.
I look for the better in people. What can I say?
I mean, you fall for the better
in
people.
Ah, come on. Obviously, while NBA free agency has dominated all of the headlines, there's been a lot of movement going on in the NHL as well. Go ahead.
I just want to note, too, as we're talking about the power of the Eastern Conference, to reiterate for anybody who wasn't with us earlier, the prediction markets also think for some reason LeBron's going to Cleveland. So imagine that bomb dropping in the Eastern Conference, too. And we're talking about the way the Celtics are getting priced, that the Cavs could come in here and get LeBron in the minimum. And then all of a sudden we're talking about just all hell breaking loose.
Yeah, significant move in the market from yesterday when we had that conversation to this morning. But to look at the NHL real quickly, today specifically, we saw a lot of noise around the fact that Alex Ovechkin has decided that he's not going to retire, but coming back on a one-year deal with the Washington Capitals. And, I mean, last year, even at his age 40 season and what was a down year goal scoring, he still put up 33, still going to be impactful. That paired with some of the other moves that Washington has made. You already acquired Jordan Kyrou, Alex Tuck from Buffalo. So adding to the offensive threat here, this offseason, Stanley Cup odds have gone from 50-1 to 22-1 now for Washington with some of the moves that they have made in the Metro, 10-1 down to 4-1. So a lot of excitement around what Washington is trying to build at the top of the board for the Stanley Cup next year. You still have the defending champs, the Carolina Hurricanes, paired with the champs the 2 years prior and the Florida Panthers, plus 750 apiece there. And I mean, give it to Florida, what they've been doing here. We know they already acquired Brady Tkachuk to pair with his brother Matthew, traded for a new goalie tandem, Jacob Markstrom from the Devils. They get an RFA from here in Vegas, Akira Schmid, who is one of the backups, signed several players, though, to long-term contracts, added some vets, including Eller, Alexander Petrovich. Radko Gudas returns to Florida as well on a long-term deal. So they are doing a lot of things to try to get back after missing the playoffs this year with all of the injuries that they had. So I know there's a ton of excitement for them. If you are a Maple Leafs fan, are you excited today? I don't know. You're coming off the draft and getting the number one overall pick. And
even though Justin Bieber didn't know how to say his name.
Dude, well, no, it's not that he didn't know how to say his name.
Or he didn't know it.
It's like, I don't know if he was asking. So for anybody that watched the NHL draft, you see him, prior to announcing the pick, whisper into Gary Bettman, the commissioner's ear, and say it's McKenna, right? And so is that because, like, no one told you officially what the pick was, or did you not know the name, even though you claim to be such a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan? So I don't know.
But he's not a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs yet.
No,
in that moment,
but if you're a Leafs fan, this is all of the talk. And we know he is. Like, he's practiced with the team. He's a big hockey guy. He used to play all of that.
You question him.
Neither here nor there. In the moment, I was like, dude, no way. And that was like, it was so awkward, too. Anyways, you're coming off of that, all of the excitement, and then you get your goaltender, right? Sergei Bobrovsky joins the Leafs on a 3-year, $7 million average annual value deal. I'm just trying to figure out, at 38 years old, coming off of what was a very poor year for you, all things considered, is he going to get back to the guy he was a couple years ago, which is one of the best in the league? Or is this the start of the end for his career and it's a downward trajectory? Maybe it's just a little recalibration. He doesn't have to be a 60-game guy because Toronto obviously has Anthony Stolarz back there. But that's not the goalie I wanted to talk about. And sorry, I feel like I'm burying the lead here. The Edmonton Oilers bring in Frederik Andersen from the Carolina Hurricanes.
What?
How should we feel about this?
I think you should feel about it. Well, then I'll answer your question with a question. How good is this Edmonton Oilers offense?
I mean, they should be great. They're great. They should be great.
Okay, then I think you're happy.
I still think they should add more.
Sure, but I'm just like, it's almost Bengals-esque, isn't it? Aren't they? Would you call them the Bengals of the NHL? Which is just your ceiling and your floor are so high on offense that your floor on defense can actually be somewhat low. We don't need you to be good. We need you to be competent.
Yes.
And part of the incompetence has been the fact that they have not invested in goaltender. And now you get a guy that we at least know, when given some form of defensive protection, will turn away a low volume of shots. And he might face a higher volume here, but he's competent enough that it is an upgrade, correct?
Absolutely, okay. An upgrade. They are better today than they were 2 days ago. And maybe with Tristan Jarry, even though clearly he wasn't the answer last year, if you can put them together as a tandem, maybe a little competition will get the best out of both of them. We'll see. The Darnell Nurse trade, by the way, to San Jose, them being able to offload all of that salary is what made room for Frederik Andersen, what made room for a lot of these other moves that they've been able to do. Edmonton has been busy, down from 11-1 to 9-1 to win the cup on DK.
I know we're out of here, but I'm just only $1 million in salary, huh?
Just a 1 year. So also hockey contracts compared to what you see in other American major professional sports leagues, it is not the same.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Confusion, what's going on out here in the World Cup. Spain, it looked like they scored, but we're having a little controversy with the officials right now, so we'll see how this ultimately ends up going. 1-0 on the scoreboard where things currently sit.
Nope, they're keeping it on the board.
Keeping
their play's back in, so no, they took it off. Thank you. All right, so okay. Scoreless.
Well, way to get me excited for nothing.
Well, they did keep it up while play resumed. That's the scorekeeper guy.
Somebody
That's
who
his fault.
Laid 1.5. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Do want to make sure we point out here, if you haven't checked out Just Win Bets, baby, now is the time. Your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They're going to break down all of the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Of course, we got a ton going on right now. If you are watching on YouTube TV or the VSiN Watch app, scan that QR code on your screen or head over to JustWinBetsBaby.com. Start betting smarter with Just Win Bets Baby. The name says it all. We both do also have Austria to not score. So hopefully in some way, shape, or fashion, they stay where they are, but would like to see Spain get some things on the board here. We'll have our World Cup best bets to round out the day coming up in the next segment. But for now, plenty of Major League Baseball ongoing. Any updates for us? Where is the Miz right now? The strikeout number was ridiculous through four.
Well, the Miz is in Milwaukee. Just want to point that out.
You know what I'm asking.
He has done for the day. Five innings, one earned run, but five total allowed. How about this? In five innings, 10 Ks. So, and it's also worth pointing out, he got taken deep twice. So while he was not charged with four of the five runs that were scored while he was on watch, he did get taken deep twice, and it was a less than stellar performance, including the second hitter, Sal Stewart, who came up in the first and hit a solo shot off of him. So a lackadaisical performance, we call it, for Jacob Mizrowski. Still, ERA is going to remain largely unblemished. And as we have talked about, because our producer Justin has been in on these, a very good start for the leader in strikeouts for the day with 10. But Anderson is in for him in relief. So his day will be done. Burns, I believe, still going. But top of the sixth, so we cash the plus a half run in the first five with the Cincinnati Reds.
Congrats on your dub there. Not the same types of struggles, but worth noting what's going on with Paul Skenes at this point.
Right? Strong hands, firm knuckles hurt my hand.
Stop. Why do you make fun of? Come on. I have frail fingers. We know this. What's been going on with Paul Skenes? So it's another day of it yesterday.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting and worth pointing out. You know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday and kind of presented, I did, that, hey, maybe this is going to be some bounce back here because his underlying numbers would present a guy that is getting somewhat unlucky. Well, struggles continue, as you mentioned. Phillies beat the Pirates 10-6 at home yesterday. So you look at yesterday in totality for Paul Skenes, four innings pitched, six hits, two walks, seven earned runs. He got taken deep twice, was having issues with command, gave up quite a bit of hard contact as well. Not as many barrels, but a lot of high exit velocity. So you can cut this cleanly in half for Paul Skenes. You know, he has made 18 starts so far. Look at this last nine starts, if you look at this for Paul Skenes, Stormy, including yesterday, a 5.36 ERA. But then look at the underlying metrics. Now, it's not like Skenes-esque, but it is still much better than what the ERA would tell you. 5.36 ERA, 3.62 expected ERA, 3.58 fielding independent, a 3.34 expected fielding independent. Some of the strikeout numbers are in line with where he was at the beginning of the season, 30% strikeout rate. I think the numbers that stick out quite a bit are a few when you talk about these last nine starts. First, it's the walk rate. Look at his walk rate in comparison with his first nine starts. His last nine starts, he's walking 7% of the batters he's facing. His first nine starts, he walked under 4% of the batters that he's faced. So command has really gotten out of control for a little bit. The other part is the batting average on balls in play. And, hey, what do we talk about all the time? Water always finds it levels with some of these statistics. First nine starts, he was getting pretty lucky, right? 183 batting average on balls in play. But over his last nine, it's reverted back to being somewhat unlucky at 364. So, in other words, when players are making contact, you know, they're reaching well over a third of the time. You're getting unlucky there. And this is the big one, obviously, because you look at some of the pricing in some of these starts. Yesterday, not the case, but his previous start, I believe, was against Cincinnati, where he's about a $1.80 favorite, $1.70 favorite. The Pirates have lost his last nine starts. They were 6-3 in those first nine. So I think you center it down or you whittle it down to a couple of things. The command, the contact, and the batting average on balls in play. If those things can kind of come together, then you're talking about a dude that can at least work back to above average form. But that has not really been the case. And it opens up an interesting door because at this point right now, given the way that he has been performing, I think that you can say, and I don't think this is going out on a limb in any way, shape, or form, that you can kind of cross him off for National League Cy Young the way that he has been playing. And so, you know, you can at least operate with that in mind. But he still has some signs that the regression should come to find him as an above-average pitcher, but nowhere near the guy that he is being priced at in the market. And I wonder if the market's ever going to come off of some of those prices for him.
As we talk about some of these awards markets, do you remember the price that we said, that we mentioned this week on Junior Caminero?
Yeah, it was what, 15-1? 14-1?
I thought it was 18-1.
Okay, yeah, somewhere in that range, yeah.
This morning, 7-1.
Yeah, why is that?
First player in MLB history to hit a homer six straight games and his team win all six of those games. He has been a monster over the last 8 days. Jordan Alvarez still odds on, but down from minus 150 to minus 125. Nick Kurtz plus 285. And Bobby Witt Jr. 6-1, the only names ahead of him on the board now.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth pointing out, too, that the Yankees can't get it together, so that's pretty tough for them. Yeah. Have you watched that yesterday? So we were here.
Speaking of tough to watch.
Yeah, Jazz Chisholm.
With my team yesterday.
Well, yeah, that. But Jazz Chisholm works his magic, right? Gets on, steals second, steals third, helps tie up the game in the ninth inning, and then they just cough it up, and the defense shows its ugly head, and they end up losing 8-2 in extras, the Yankees do yesterday. So that's the other thing that's kind of working in the Rays' favor. You know, the league overall in the top spot in the league, they're in the driver's seat right now. There's still plenty of games left, but they're 3.5 games ahead of the New York Yankees for the top spot in the American League. So if you get Caminero to continue to hit like he is on a team that's going to have the best record in the American League, it's hard to turn that down, I think, when you're looking at the way that he is still being priced and the way that he's been hitting the baseball. Now, does he make it 7 straight games? Maybe, maybe not. But I just think that his overall profile, he is going to be out there, and he is going to be one of the better hitters that you're going to find in the American League, and I still think there might be some value there coming up. And he gets to oppose Stephen Kolek today for the Kansas City Royals, and Kolek, not so great, 4.15 ERA, so we can see if we can get it done. Spain gets it done. Goal.
Let's go.
That one's going to count. 37th minute. Let's go. Colonizers up 1-0. Oh,
speaking of which, at the beginning of the segment when we were doing the will they, won't they of Spain, I saw this tweet the other day of somebody saying, how do you know when a goal is offside? And it's, whenever anything good happens in the game, that means it's offside. Yeah. Because it's just, that's just how it is.
USA had a couple of those yesterday. Sure.
Oh, yeah, the Pulisic one. Yep. Rays, by the way, minus 125 favorites in that game against Kansas City. The only guy who's been better than Junior Caminero lately, Dansby freaking Swanson. And so I say, like,
why do you know that, Stormy?
How about the day for my team? Well, the pod squad got slaughtered yesterday, 23-3. Dansby Swanson, over the last 24 hours, has 5 homers, 3 yesterday, including a grand slam and 8 RBI. Make me want to read Kill Myself books.
Whoa, relax.
9 homers, aggressive. 29 RBI his last 13 games. One thing I will say, it's a shame this series is done, because I want to bet another over. The runs have been aplenty with the wind blowing out at Wrigley, and the Cubs have been awesome.
Yes, they have. You know, I remember you telling me when we first got a show together that you were a big Mel Ott fan. You watched that 1929 series or season back then, and you were amazed by the way he was swinging the baseball.
Just like you don't watch movies before your birth. It's like I haven't watched a lot of highlights from before my birth either.
Are there highlights of 1929 baseball players?
Articles.
Okay. Like, did they understand color back then or anything?
We've only got a couple minutes left in this segment. 6 more games still to start tonight.
Got one.
You do?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go American League. Davis Martin and Slade Ciccone going at it. The Chicago White Sox on the road against the Cleveland Guardians. Davis Martin is an interesting guy. You know, I brought him up for with Adam Burke for American League Cy Young about maybe a month ago or so. And Adam looked at me and said, no. He had pitched relatively well post that. But couple of starts ago, went out against the New York Yankees on the road, pitched 3 1/3, got just wrecked. 9 earned runs, only struck out 4, walked 3. Seemed like all the goodwill for Davis Martin was done. But just like any true champion, he bounced back, Stormy's last 2 starts, 11 1/3. He's given up 1 total earned run. He has struck out 7, walked 4, so the command's a little shaky. But Davis Martin has kind of rounded back to where we were at the beginning of the year. A little bit of a discrepancy in some of his numbers, and this is always an interesting one, right? When we're talking about chasing the regression monster and what stats do you want to buy into and what stats do you want to put away. His expected ERA is 3.81 compared to his 3-flat ERA. So you would look at that, you would say, well, regression is coming. He does not deserve the ERA, which has been posted upon him. His fielding independent is 2.92. So there is a big difference between his expected ERA and his fielding independent and how you differentiate those. Again, expected ERA really does hang on contact numbers, hard hit rate, barrel rate. So that is get inflated if you're going to give up a bunch of hard contact. So I wonder what the true Davis Martin is. But I do think he is better than some of the blowups that he has shown. And the larger sample size would dictate that. But here we are. Market has moved against it. We saw this open like $1.20 in favor of the Chicago White Sox. See the price now. Guardians are favored. And to kind of put the cherry on top here, Ciccone's been one of those dudes that you look at some of the overlying metrics, the swing and miss stuff has been down this year, the command has been up, or it's going to be down as well, or walks have been up, and his overlying metrics overall have not looked particularly great. I'm a Davis Martin believer. So as this continues to head in the direction of the Cleveland Guardians, I'll take a little small dog price on the White Sox today.
All right, beautiful. Yeah, I'll see in minus 105 on the money line. Cleveland at home, minus 114. Your run total for the game, 8.5. You hear that music? We got to step aside here real quickly on Money Moves. Already wrapping things up. Next on the program, we will recap the best bets from yesterday, share with you what else is in pocket for today, and, of course, update you on where things sit in the World Cup. Spain currently up 1-0 on Austria. Stick around. More VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, after this.
Stop the count.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Almost here, and in honor of the holiday, we are bringing back something we rarely do here at VSiN, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription, but it's only going for 1 week. So you get full 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's access through July of 2028 at nearly 70% off our usual monthly price. You get our NFL season betting guide, the daily best bets, real-time bet splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, every other betting guide that comes through, season previews, VSiN Pro features, releasing it all over the next 2 years. But don't wait. This special 4th of July offer disappears after July 7th. So get in there like swimwear. Now's the time. VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro. Speaking of the 4th of July, very much so looking forward to our conversation tomorrow, doing a deep dive into the 4th of July hot dog eating contest out there at Coney Island. Had the great, legendary George Shea on the program earlier today. If you missed it, you want to catch up, hear the whole breakdown, make sure you download Money Moves wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, time for the bets. We got to recap what we did yesterday before we look ahead to today. Not a bad day. I lost the one England spread bet as while we were on the air already yesterday, but beyond that, Belgium, Senegal, both teams to score comes through for us, as does USA covering the spread against Bosnia and Herzegovina. We got the plus 110 on that one. I tried it. Come on. I tried to tail our guy. Unfortunately, the 3-1 dub. The 3-1 dub didn't come through for us, but it was just a happy unit play. It was for fun.
So are you going to get mad at him and tell him to his face when he joins us again on Monday?
No, I won't. I'm still going to say thank you for giving us the winner because
just
we got the...
Don't let John Bujagras on this air anymore. I'll tell you that much right now.
We still cashed the spread bet, like we said. Still pending, though, of course, big picture in the World Cup. France to win it all. France to make the semifinal and Kylian Mbappe for Golden Boot. Meanwhile, as Wimbledon rolls on, Arina Sabalenka to make the semifinal at plus 110. Back-to-back straight set victories for her. She is a big favorite coming up in round three against Yelena Ostapenko. These two have faced each other, by the way, four times before. Sabalenka 3-1 in those matches, but Ostapenko won the most recent match. So we'll see if maybe things could get interesting there. I hope not, though. Would like to see her make the semi in a year that everybody seems to think she's going to get over the hump. How about you? What do you have?
Really big missed opportunity for the Spaniards here. Free kick, really close to the box. This is going to get saved. Actually, I was going to hit the crossbar, but no, it gets a little more interesting after this. On the rebound, at some point, you're going to get a free, just an open look at it. But goaltender comes over, saves it, takes it right in the gut. But good job.
This is making me feel good, though, about the chances that Spain has created here as somebody that laid the goal in a half.
I mean, we did watch an English team tie a game scoreless when they set a record for, like, most shots on goal in a single game or something like that.
Why are you the way that you are?
Just saying, anything can happen.
Go to your recap, please.
The Atlanta Braves, they get it done. Team total over 4.5 yesterday.
Barely 5-1.
Barely cashes. 5.
For sure.
Take it. Minus 120. So Braves team total over 4.5 gets it done today. You're waving your finger at me. What's up?
I was going to say kudos to you because the Braves have been on a little bit of a skid here. And you thought if there was a day that they could bounce back with Ronaldo Lopez on the hill, maybe that would be it. And you nailed it.
Yep. So hopefully we can keep it going in baseball. I do have some pending for you as we're sitting on it when it comes to the World Cup. I think England to advance. I think I jumped the gun on this because there's like some minus 135s out there on the English to advance against Mexico. So we'll see. I cannot wait for that game. But I thought minus 155 was cheap. But I also probably should have realized that one of the more bet sides, considering the Mexican success over there at Estadio Azteca, was going to be a very public side. So that drove that price down. But we're sitting on England minus 155 for Sunday. Cannot wait for that matchup here. And addition as well. Didn't put this in, so we don't have a fancy graphic. I apologize, crew. White Sox, moneyline, minus 105 today.
Well, fortunately, you gave the full breakdown in the last segment. So the people got to hear at least. And if you didn't, again, like we said, the podcast will be dropping immediately following this hour being in the rear view. A couple sweats for both of us right now. I know you have Spain to win and Austria to be held scoreless.
But say it, you say it like such a clod-headed American.
I am one.
Spain to win to nil.
Okay, I'm new to this, all right?
Come on,
I'm trying
now.
My best. I also have Austria under a half a goal here, so would like to see the clean sheet streak continue for Spain in this spot, who is up 1-0 as we sit. I also have them on the spread, minus the laying the goal in the half, minus 105 that price. Later on tonight, I am rolling with Switzerland on the money line, minus 105 against Algeria, as we talked about earlier. Algeria is just a team that defensively continues to concede goals, and with the ability that the Swiss have shown to score, I feel like they should be able to get this thing done with relative ease. I also did like the team total over 1.5, didn't ultimately get to the board on that one. And not an official play in this Portugal-Croatia game, but I am still trying to figure out the way to play it. I like angles on Croatia. Mm-hmm. I am not a believer right now in Portugal, despite the outside expectations they had coming into the World Cup. They were the only pre-tournament favorite not to win their group, had the shocking opener draw against DR Congo. We know they bounced back against Uzbekistan with the big win, but then they reverted back to their old ways in a 0-0 draw against Colombia. I just don't find what they have been able to do reliable, trustworthy, whatever word you want to use, and Croatia at a decent plus money price. I don't know if they're going to win at plus 255 to advance, or the three-way line, excuse me. But I think maybe to draw, if you want to go on that angle, the plus a half a goal, like there are a few different ways. The double chance, I'm going to look at something. I just don't know how I want to get there yet.
All right. I have a couple of tweets. Do you have anything else before I move on?
Hit it.
Okay. First off, this is from Abigail. We were talking, as I think pretty much every show on this network is, at the beginning of the program about the red card for Team USA yesterday. And we'd played the rules analyst, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the rules analyst brought up intent as part of the logic when it comes to assessing a red card, correct?
I don't know if the word was intent that he used.
Okay.
But go on, why?
Well, because Abigail tweets in and says, what people are failing to realize is that intent does not change this. If you don't intend to commit a handball, but you still commit a handball, it's a violation. People need to stop talking about intent. The rules say intent does not matter.
I thought intent to injure was one of the things, though. But I don't know if specifically the rules analyst said that. He might have used, like, violent conduct, because I know that's another word that's in the rules.
Maliciousness.
Yeah, something like that.
Maliciousness.
Right?
Maliciousness isn't a word. Maliciousness.
Maliciousness. But, well, it's because you can't handicap intent, right?
Sure.
Like, you can't truly guide your thought process.
A great reader of people.
On that. But the big comp has been the Messi one that we saw in the opening game of the group stage, right? And everybody has seen the pictures of that, and you see Messi looking right at the guy, clearly going for the tackle. Meanwhile, what you see in this with Balogun is, like, he's not even looking at the guy at all.
Speaking of red cards and learning new things, you learned what the Spanish Armada was during the break. The thing I learned... What?
Go ahead.
You had no clue what the Spanish Armada
just
was.
Just kidding.
It was a great summer in 1588.
I didn't know what year it was in, for the record.
I did not learn.
Why do you?
I learned... I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff up here. It's a big head. There's... I didn't know about the rule for the red card when you cover your mouth until the Mexico game the other day.
Which also, by the way, I've still been seeing a lot of players do that and not have anything said to them about it. Because the U.S. was even doing it yesterday.
I don't know. I think it don't, you know,
is there,
I'm not going to
get to
it.
Are there some specifics about it that I don't know?
I assume when there is a questionable call, I don't know. Want to point out a couple of other tweets from us again, at me, JVT, at Storm Bonatoni. Again, Storm, not Stormy. JT checked in, said Brown felt disrespected being traded for a two-time MVP, and Giannis being traded for over-the-hill Paul George is being treated with disrespect. I would agree. And then shout out to Tyler Shoemaker, who was with us earlier, one of our betting analysts here at the network, does a great job with the WNBA. He had brought up the fact that Satu Sabally is now starting to come off the bench for the New York Liberty, and that would be something worth looking at for sixth person.
You found a number?
Earl Nelson found the number. I won't take all the credit here. Said Sabally is 20-1 at DraftKings for sixth person, if you wanted to follow that.
Also, one more follow-up to the red card thing, and I appreciate our listeners chiming in the way that you guys have. I still go back to the fact that this isn't even something that should have been looked at, slow motion or still images, period. Right. So intent aside, the fact that it was a misuse of, what are we calling it? VAR, V-A-R, V-R?
I'm like, going with the European.
What's the way that we're saying
I'm
this?
I'm going with the European way. I'm going with VAR.
But I think that's the bigger issue at large, is the misuse and not following the VAR protocol the way that it's supposed to be.
There you go.
And then also not having then an allowance for an appeal. At all. So
I would agree.
And it's not going to change anything, right? Balogun's unavailable now for the round of 16, so we can complain and be upset about it as much as we want to. But the impact in the moment, though, when it was a 1-0 game and having to play a man down for more than 30 minutes, the fact that the U.S. was able to score, I think, is amazing. And we'll see if they can continue to build on this, because they have seemed to show, at least from what I have seen as a sports fan and an eye test, and I'm not going to pretend to know the intricacies of the game, but a mental fortitude so far throughout this tournament that, based on years past and the way people have talked about the U.S. team, is different. They look different. They feel different. Whatever Mauricio Pochettino has done with these guys has taken their game to a different level. So hopefully they can build on it against Belgium on Monday.
Do you want to get annoyed?
Oh, real quickly, like you said though earlier, we're going to have Eric Wendahl on the program on Monday, though, to preview that game, which will be awesome. But sure.
FIBA World Cup qualifiers are underway. Alperen Şengün is playing extremely well. Nikola Jokic is on the court right now, actually. And Jamal Murray was out there watching him. FIBA World Cup qualifiers do matter. Thank you very much.
I'll allow this in the last 15 seconds of a show. It's when you try to lead a segment with it that
I
have issues. We have other things that are actually going on.
I was quite literally leading segments.
Are you betting on it? Do you have something you can bet?
When it was on.
Do you have a play for us? This is the best bet segment.
The best bet that I can give you right now is sticking around for Mitch and Paul coming up next.
Smooth. Follow the money after this. Have a great day, everybody.